All right, come back to the house with me. I'll show you the entry on the copyright page of the book. No, Shooter said. I don't care about the book. I don't care a pin for the book. Show me the story. Show me the magazine with the story in it so I can read it for myself. I don't have the magazine here. He was about to say something else, but Shooter turned his face up toward the sky and uttered a single bark of laughter. The sound was as dry as an axe splitting kindling wood. No, he said. The fury was still blazing and dancing in his eyes, but he seemed in charge of himself again. No, I bet you don't. Listen to me, Mort said. Ordinarily, this is just a place my wife and I come in the summer. I have copies of my books here and some foreign editions, but I've published in a lot of magazines as well, articles and essays as well as stories. Those magazines are in our year-round house, the one in Derry. And why aren't you there? Shooter asked. In his eyes, Mort read both disbelief and a galling satisfaction. It was clear that Shooter had expected him to try and squirm his way out of it, and in Shooter's mind, that was just what Mort was doing. Or trying to do. I'm here because... He stopped. How did you know I'd be here? I just looked on the back of the book I bought, Shooter said. And Mort could have slapped his own forehead in frustration and sudden understanding. Of course. There had been a picture of him on the back of both the hardcover and paperback editions of Everybody Drops the Dime. Amy had taken it herself, and it had been an excellent shot. He was in the foreground. The house was in the middle distance. Tashmore Lake was in the background. The caption had read simply, Morton Rainey at his home in Western Maine. So Shooter had come to Western Maine, and he probably hadn't had to visit too many small-town bars and or drugstores before he found someone who said, Mort Rainey? Hell yes, got a place over in Tashmore. Personal friend of mine, in fact. Well, that answered one question anyway. I'm here because my wife and I got a divorce, he said. It just became final. She stayed in Derry. Any other year, the house down here would have been empty. Uh-huh, Shooter said. His tone of voice infuriated Mort all over again. You're lying, it said. But in this case, it doesn't much matter, because I knew you'd lie. After all, lying is mostly what you're about, isn't it? Well, I would have found you one place or the other. He fixed Mort with a flinty stare. I would have found you if you'd moved to Brazil. I believe that, Mort said. Nevertheless, you are mistaken, or conning me. I'll do you the courtesy of believing it's only a mistake, because you seem sincere enough. Oh, God, didn't he? But I published that story 2 years before you say you wrote it. He saw that mad flash in Shooter's eyes again, and then it was gone. Not extinguished, but collared. The way a man might collar a dog with an evil nature. You say this magazine's at your other house?
Yes.
And the magazine has your story in it?
Yes.
And the date of that magazine is June 1980.
Yes.
Mort had felt impatient with this laborious catechism. There was a long, thoughtful pause before each question at first. But now he felt a little hope. It was as if the man was trying to teach himself the truth of what Mort had said, a truth, Mort thought, that part of John Shooter must have known all along, because the almost exact similarity between the two stories was not coincidence. He still believed that firmly, but he had come around to the idea that Shooter might have no conscious memory of committing the plagiarism, because the man was clearly mad. He wasn't quite as afraid as he had been when he first saw the hate and fury dancing in Shooter's eyes, like the reflection of a barn fire blazing out of control. When he pushed the man, he had staggered backward, and Mort thought that if it came to a fight, he could probably hold his own, or actually put his man on the ground. Still, it would be better if it didn't come to that. In an odd, back-end sort of way, he had begun to feel a bit sorry for Shooter. That gentleman, meanwhile, was stolidly pursuing his course.
This other house, the one your wife has now, it's here in Maine, too?
Yes.
And she's there?
Yes.
There was a much longer pause this time. In a weird way, Shooter reminded Mort of a computer processing a heavy load of information. At last, he said,
I'll give you 3 days.
That's very generous of you, Mort said. Shooter's long upper lip drew back from teeth too even to be anything but mail-order dentures.
Don't you make light of me, son, he said. I'm trying my best to hold my temper, and doing a pretty good job of it, but
you, Mort cried at him, what about me? This is unbelievable. You come out of nowhere and make just about the most serious accusation a man can make against a writer, and when I tell you I've got proof you're either mistaken or lying through your damn teeth, you start patting yourself on the back for holding your temper. It's unbelievable.
Shooter's eyelids drooped, giving him a sly look. Proof? He said. I don't see no proof. I hear you talking, but talking ain't proof.
I told you, Mort shouted. He felt helpless, like a man trying to box cobwebs. I explained all that.
Shooter looked at Mort for a long moment, then turned and reached through the open window of his car.
What are you doing? Mort asked, his voice tight.
Now he felt the adrenaline dump into his body, readying him for fight or flight. Probably the latter, if Shooter was reaching for the big handgun Mort suddenly saw in the eye of his imagination. Just getting my smokes, Shooter said. Hold your water.
When he pulled his arm out of the car, he had a red package of Pall Malls in his hand. He had taken them off the dashboard.
Want one?
I have my own, Mort said rather sulkily, and took the ancient pack of L&Ms from the pocket beneath the red flannel overshirt. They lit up, each from his own pack.
If we keep on this way, we're going to have a fight. Shooter said finally. I don't want that.
Well, Jesus, neither do I.
Part of you does, Shooter contradicted.
He continued to study Mort from beneath his dropped lids with that expression of country shrewdness.
Part of you wants just that. But I don't think it's just me or my story that's making you want to fight. You've got some other bee under your blanket that's got you all riled up. And that is making this harder. Part of you wants to fight. What you don't understand is that if we do start to fight, it's not going to end until one or the other of us is dead.
Mort looked for signs that Shooter was exaggerating for effect and saw none. He suddenly felt cold all along the base of his spine.
So I'm going to give you 3 days. You call your ex and get her to send down the magazine with your story in it, if there is such a magazine, and I'll be back. There isn't any magazine, of course. I think we both know that, but you strike me as a man who needs to do some long, hard thinking.
He looked at Mort with a disconcerting expression of stern pity.
You didn't believe anybody would ever catch you out, did you? He asked. You really didn't.
If I show you the magazine. Will you go away? Mort asked. He was speaking more to himself than to Shooter. I guess what I really want to know is whether or not it's even worth it. Shooter abruptly opened his car door and slid in behind the wheel. Mort found the speed with which the man could move a little creepy.
3 days. Use it the way you like, Mr. Rainey.
He started the engine. It ran with the low wheeze characteristic of valves which need to be reground, and the tang of oil smoke from the old tailpipe polluted the air of the fading afternoon.
Right is right, and fair is fair. First thing is to get you to a place where you see I've really got you, and you can't wiggle out of this mess the way you've probably been wiggling out of the messes you've made all your life. That's the first thing.
He looked at Mort expressionlessly out of the driver's side window.
The second thing, he said, is the real reason I come.
What's that? Mort heard himself say.
It was strange, and not a little infuriating, but he felt that sensation of guilt creeping relentlessly over him again, as if he really had done the thing of which this rustic lunatic was accusing him. We'll talk about it, Shooter said, and threw his elderly station wagon in gear. Meantime, you think about what's right and what's fair.
You're nuts, Mort shouted, but Shooter was already rolling up Lake Drive toward where it spilled out onto Route 23. He watched until the wagon was out of sight, then walked slowly back to the house. It felt emptier and emptier in his mind as he drew closer and closer to it. The rage and the fear were gone. He felt only cold, tired, and homesick for a marriage which no longer was, and which, it now began to seem to him, had never been at all.